Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I'm your host, Shane Bacon. A quick emergency podcast following the fun of Friday at the Ryder Cup. USA goes out red hot, 4-0 to start. And then Europe does what Europe does, clawed back a bit. Now it's 5-3. I think we're in store for a really, really great weekend. I think that the Americans kind of surprised in a format they don't normally do that well in foursomes, and they'll have to do it again tomorrow because we saw the Europeans like this golf course, can make a lot of birdies on this golf course, and could take four ball again, something that the Americans are used to playing a little bit better in than foursomes. But first things first, to the guys and gals listening, get yourself to swingjuice.com right now and get a couple of their limited Ryder Cup t-shirts. Swing Juice makes some of the most comfortable and topical golf t-shirts around, and the Ryder Cup shirts are outstanding. I'm wearing one right now, no lie, supporting Team USA. But Swing Juice also has European shirts for those across the pond. If you use the promo code BACON, you'll save 20% on your orders. Go check Swing Juice right now and continue that round into your evening. I called Chris Solomon from No Laying Up. He's there for SB Nation at Hazeltine. I had a chance to walk and be out into the crowd, be out in the galleries. Got to see and hear a lot of interesting things. Let me tell you, the fans were on one today. I mean, you can see some pictures and some stuff yelled. Again, just a little PSA, don't yell while they're playing golf. You can try to do something funny in between golf shots, but make sure you wait until they actually hit or putt before you throw that incredibly hilarious zinger that you've got planned out. That's enough for me. I wanted to get to Chris Solomon right now. He joined me from the media center. He's still got a lot of stuff to write, so it was nice of him to join me. You can hear some audio in the background. That's what happens at these things. Just kind of deal with it. I'm sorry. I apologize. I will send you the next podcast free for a bit of the in and out audio. But here we go. Chris Solomon, No Laying Up. Make sure you follow him at No Laying Up and subscribe to his podcast. Here we go. Time for an emergency podcast with Chris Solomon. You know him from No Laying Up. Been on the podcast plenty of times. Has his own podcast, of course, No Laying Up Podcast. Make sure you check that out. Chris is at Hazeltine, and this is your first time, besides kind of a one-day jaunt at Medina, that you've been in the Ryder Cup atmosphere. So first things first, what was it like this morning on that first tee? You know, a couple hours before play gets going, the stands are packed. What were the fans like at Hazeltine even before this thing got going?
Well, I got there around 6:15 this morning, thinking like plenty of time. And as I'm pulling up or getting out of the car, walking in, it felt like I was late to something. Like I had already missed something. They had floodlights and a DJ going on the first tee. The bleachers were almost completely filled. And I think the only seats that were open were like reserved or some kind, because there was a line to get into the grandstands. And soon enough, within at least 30 minutes before the first tee shot, there were people lined up 15 rows deep, and people in the front row of where they were lined up could not see the tee. So people were just lined up to hear the noise, just to make noise for that first tee, which, I mean, I think everyone was anticipating and really, really excited for. It was a bit subdued after that. No one did it like the Ian Poulter or Bubba Watson from 2012 pump up the crowd, which I kind of thought Patrick Reed would. It did quiet down for their shots, but, I mean, it was the atmosphere and the electricity is, it's like cheesy words to use with it, but it really does describe it. And when the first USA chant started, every hair on my body started standing directly vertical. It was pretty amazing. It definitely rivaled what I saw at Medina in 2012.
Yeah. And I mean, it's Friday, it's early. I mean, you know, the opening matches, they count for as many points as a Sunday single match, but it's still, you know, the first match is out. I think I was surprised by how many fans were out there. I mean, Do you think the grandiose nature of the Ryder Cup is surprising to people that have never been there?
I mean, it's just you got, you know, 40,000, 50,000 people, and there's only four matches going at a time. So every hole is going to have 10 rows deep full of people, and it's usually people that have gone a few holes ahead and are waiting for people to come by. So it's such a different atmosphere. You know, when you have, sometimes you have 30, 40 groups of guys coming through a golf course at the same time, people are much more spread out over 18 holes. It's not like that at all here. So when the players actually come through, the fans are just especially rowdy, especially fired up. and maybe a little. I think the Ryder Cup also just attracts some fans that aren't necessarily the biggest golf fans that are kind of there for the party as well, because there's a lot of noise being made and at times that are not usually made at usual events. So, yeah, the atmosphere and the brevity of the entire situation is prevalent with every single shot, and everyone kind of dedicated to a cause for the most part. Everyone has sides they've chosen. It's probably 90-10 U.S. to Euro fans out here, but you can hear the Euro fans as well. So the fact that everyone's kind of rooting for almost the same thing, it definitely elevates the level of excitement.
Yeah, and what was the feel like? I mean, let's get into it. I mean, the Americans go out and it's 4-0. I mean, you know, I mean, it's the first time since Arnie was a captain that the Americans were able to get a 4-0 lead in these matches. I mean, did it feel like, I mean, did the atmosphere go up? Did the fans get more pumped up, or was it just almost a surprise feeling around the golf course, both with media and fans alike, after that huge lead the Americans put up early?
Well, I don't know about you, Shane, but I was a bit disappointed with the way that the foursomes draw fell out. And I know you predicted that the Euros would win the morning session. I thought they would too. I didn't like them sending out Zach Johnson and Jimmy Walker. I spent a lot of the time out on the course, so I couldn't see every shot, couldn't see every match. But it felt like the Euros just really did not play very well in the morning. Not to take anything away from the U.S. guys. I'm looking up the board and just seeing not a lot, just not many circles at all for those Europeans, especially at that Westwood Peters match. So it was everyone kind of, I don't want to say we thought it was over, but there was definitely some, I made some very cocky statements both on Twitter and in person to some people. Jake Nichols is a friend of the pod, of my podcast, and a friend of all of us as well. And he's actually doing stats for the European team this week, and I went up and gave him a little bit of ribbing for some of his predictions, and then sure enough, the Euros came back. But after that morning session, it was like, all right, well, if we're going to sweep foursomes, then how bad is this going to be? How bad are we going to destroy them? And, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm glad the Euros came back in the afternoon, but, I mean, from an interesting standpoint for this event, it definitely got a lot more interesting with that 3-1 afternoon session.
Yeah, I was predicting it was going to be 7-1. I mean, you mentioned it. I predicted the Europeans would be up 2.5 to 1.5 early. But after looking at how the afternoon draw fell, I was sitting there going, you know, you've got Spieth and Patrick Reed again, which is kind of our best Ryder Cup team in what, the last 10 years. I mean, if you think you can think about Stricker and Tiger at those President's Cups and 5-0 and all that, but you know, I mean, these two guys playing together. Just get it. I mean, they just ran into a buzzsaw in the afternoon with the way Stenson and Rose playing 9-under through 14. But I really thought this could be a runaway, and I'm with you. I mean, the Americans winning is great, but I was scared we were going to see some sort of a buzzsaw here, and it was going to become boring by Saturday.
That's definitely not the case, and I think it's not comparable to like the Poulter Rory McIlroy match Saturday afternoon at Medina. But what Rory did in that final match today, it reminded me of it at least a little bit. He actually just said in the media center a second ago that he had his celebration planned before he even hit the putt, and he did let out a demonstrative, he bowed towards the crowd and a huge fist pump towards his team, and it was kind of like it felt to me like that was him like, I'm strapping you on my back, I'm carrying you guys, this is my team, I'm setting the example right here, you guys need to follow that. I don't even think Thomas Peters barely got to speak in the press conference we just heard. Rory has just taken over control of this thing, and I don't want to assume any. I obviously was not in the team room, but he had to have said something after that first session because that was a completely different European team that came out that second half. I'm just looking at the scoreboard now. Rose and Stenson looks like they played 9-under in their 14 holes. I mean, it wasn't as if the U.S. really dominated them in the morning. I really do think the Euros were just really poor in the morning. Things evened out a little bit in the afternoon, and we got ourselves a ball game for sure.
Yeah, and you talked about Rory. I wanted to bring him up. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, after he makes that putt on his last hole to win that match. Okay, so go to the Irish Open when he wins, and you see those fairway woods he hits, you know, on the 18th hole, of course, when he hits it to within inches. Then you think about the Deutsche Bank, and he eagles the 18th hole on Saturday, hits it to it, almost makes it for double eagle, and then that great up and down on Sunday out of the bunker to make birdie on the 18th. Do you think when Rory sees par fives, I mean, there's nothing in his mind but birdies and eagles? I mean, he plays them so efficiently, you have to think it's a par four and almost a par 3.5 for him on these 575-yard holes.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a staple of his game. It's a staple of when Tiger Woods dominated this game. All of the long ball hitters obviously take huge advantage of these par fives. It's funny, he said he had 226 yards in on the 16th hole. Wind was coming into him a bit and off the right, and he said it was a perfect 4-iron. I was like, wait a second, you're into the wind, 4-iron over water? And it actually went a bit by the hole. It was a bit past pin high. I mean, just the little bit that I've got to see him so far, it's very consistent with what I saw at the Memorial. It just seems like the ball's on a string for him. I don't know how he doesn't win more with the way he hits the ball. The fact that he's putting well now, it's kind of terrifying. I'm shocked they lost their match this morning. I thought that was a great matchup for the Euros, and I've heard that even Andy Sullivan even played pretty well. So I'm very surprised they lost to Mickelson and Fowler this morning. And I would be surprised if Rory lost another match.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised he lost any point at any point at this Ryder Cup the way he's been playing, and of course the way he played in the afternoon. But I wanted to ask you, and I'll go over both teams. We've knocked out two rounds so far here on Friday going into Saturday. Which American has impressed you the most through the first two sessions?
I'm going to say Brooks Koepka. Because I'm a huge fanboy. I drink his bathwater. I have it shipped overseas to me. And B, I followed him for 18, or I guess only played 14 holes, I think, today. He and Brant Snedeker were fantastic. Almost a perfect ham and egg. Koepka shot about 5-under in the 14 holes. Was just, and there wasn't a lot to cheer for in the afternoon. The crowd's reaction to his drives. I know there's a lot of bombers out here. There's DJ. There's Rory, like you just mentioned. But the crowd was lit, almost laughing at some of his drives and giving him 20 to 30 second ovations after the shot. Like, it's just that's not a normal thing that happens after a tee shot. And I actually spoke a bit with his dad out on the course today, and he just switched to the new TaylorMade M2 driver. And his dad told me he picked up 18 carry yards off the tee with that thing.
It's not fair.
He missed one green today. Technically, he missed three greens. He had like a little belly wedge from 10 feet on one hole, and he putted one from the fringe, but hit one in the water on a par three on the back. He otherwise, hit every single green. Hit last out of his foursome on every hole but two holes, and he was playing almost from the fairway on every hole, unless there was a hole where the fairway ran out, and that happened to him twice. So if he's not, and they're about to announce, I think the pairings for tomorrow. Yeah, if he's not in the foursomes pairing tomorrow, I'm going to be shocked and furious. I was mad he wasn't in it this morning. It worked out quite well for the U.S., so I can't really stay up on that pedestal, but I'll be absolutely shocked if he's not out for fortunes tomorrow. He was fantastic.
Okay, so I'm not going to ask you who the most disappointing American player was. I'm going to ask you, of all the 12 on the board right now, which American player, in your opinion, your guess, will we not see at all on Saturday?
Well, as you're asking the question, they just released the Saturday AM pairing.
Oh, so let's hear it. Go with them. I haven't seen them yet.
Phil Rickey versus Rory and Peters out first. So three of the four from this morning's foursome match are back out there. Sneds, Koepka versus Stenson Fitzpatrick. All right, I got my wish. Walker and Zach Johnson versus Justin Rose and Chris Wood. Sending Chris Wood out in foursomes. Interesting. And Reed Spieth out last for Sergio and Rafa Cabrera Bello.
Okay, so now you already know the morning. Yeah.
I heard that J.B. Holmes did not have a great day today. I'm looking up at the board now. I see that he made one birdie. Looks like Ryan Moore made three on the back nine today. So if I'm going to take a guess, I'm going to guess that perhaps J.B. Holmes sits out all of the afternoon session as well. I hope that Davis Love is able to put his ego a bit aside and able to do that. I know when captains make captain's picks, they like to do their best to try to justify the pick. And it's kind of hard to swallow your pride and say, look, I may have made a mistake here. I'm just going to send you back out in singles. I hope that is the case, because I think there's enough guys playing well on the U.S. side that would make me want to say, I'm not sure Holmes deserves another shot in four ball. We know he's not playing foursomes. So, If that's my guess at this point, and seeing how the guys play today, I think J.B. Holmes is your most likely candidate for that. But I mean, I'm not sure why that's really not that surprising. He's had a very disappointing second half of the year. To me, that was the captain's pick that made the least amount of sense. I've even heard that there's a hint of an injury that he's dealing with. I'm not even sure what it is, but so if that's the case, I think we probably won't see him again until Sunday.
Okay, so now on the European side, and then we'll get to the matches tomorrow. European side, who impressed you the most today? And if you want to default and say Rory, that's fine.
Yeah, I think defaulting to Rory there. Andy Sullivan, I thought, played very well in the morning. Thomas Peters, I'm looking up at the board now and seeing he had three birdies today, playing in a high-profile match alongside Rory. Danny Willett, I followed him around a lot today. For somebody who had it rough today.
He was carrying the corpse of Martin Kaymer the entire day.
Yeah, he really did. Kaymer was complete non-factor. Willett seemed to have a decent amount of fun out there. It's kind of surprising considering what he dealt with and how his day went, losing 5-4. But I heard Sergio had another excellent afternoon as well. But Stenson was the guy that everyone in the media center was talking about. And I was able to listen to a bit of the broadcast while out on the course as well. And everyone seemed to be fawning over the way Stenson was striking his iron. So you may have to fill me in a bit on that.
He went Royal Troon for like eight or nine holes. I mean, it was just dart after dart after dart. He almost made a hole in one, and it was like kind of a look away hole in one. We saw the great Tour Sauce moment where the shot was in the air and he threw the club, which you guys already have T-shirts mocked up you can buy at nolayingup.com, which is amazing. I would agree with you on the American side of both of the answers. I think that if I was going to pull somebody I thought was the most impressive considering the moment, I thought Cabrera Bayo played incredible golf, given that, you know, he was a rookie and he's going out there with Sergio and they really need a point. You know, he birdies his first hole, much like Koepka. I thought he was very, very impressive. Now, if we're looking at the European side of things, and I think I'll know the answer to this, which European player do you see sitting for Saturday?
I mean, I don't see, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see Fitzpatrick, or was he in the,
Fitzpatrick and Stenson are playing in the second match.
I don't know if they're going to sit Kaymer for the entire day. He's one of the veterans on the team, and it still appears to me that Clark wants to hide a few guys on the team. Fitzpatrick and Wood not playing at all on this very first day. Got to be tough for them. And it's going to be really tough for them both getting thrown into foursomes tomorrow morning. Can't go any worse for them than it did today. But if you're asking me, it may be Kaymer. I mean, he showed no sign of any kind of consistency today. Complete non-factor, zero birdies in the afternoon match. And he and Sergio only had one birdie, it looks like, this morning in the foursome. So,
yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
This is a birdie-friendly golf course. I mean, this is a place where people make birdies. There's a lot of par fives. Granted, they're really long. But, I mean, there's short par fours mixed in with some lengthy ones. This is a birdie-friendly golf course. I mean, we mentioned Rose and Stinson, 9-under through 14 today. To not make a birdie, a single birdie, in this format on this golf course, you'd have to think he cannot be brought out, especially if the Americans maintain this lead going into late matches on Saturday. I mean, you've got to put your best out there.
Yeah, and being out there, these guys, there's nothing they fear off the tee at all other than the fairway bunkers. And they're not treacherous bunkers, but there's no fear of going in the rough out on this golf course. It's very mowed down. They're getting good lies in the rough everywhere. Unless you're hitting it into the really wet parts, which they obviously can't tell that from the tee, there's really nothing to fear off the tee on this golf course. So when these guys had the license to kind of hit it wherever they want, that's when they're going to make a ton of birdies. You're going to see a ton of drivers and shorter irons into the holes. But, you know, it does play really long. But, again, there's nothing really out there that's really treacherous for these guys. So, if you're not pounding out birdies here, especially in a four-ball format, you're going to find yourself on the bench. And I heard Westwood really had a struggle this morning as well. He's sitting out again for foursomes tomorrow, so I'm not sure we see him again tomorrow as well. But Europe's kind of running out of guys, I guess. If I'm answering this question on how they're filling out their roster, so it will be very interesting to see. It looks like the U.S. is going very consistent with who they're sending back out tomorrow, except they are sliding in Koepka and Snedeker, and it looks like who's sitting out. Sorry, I had it right in front of me.
It's a little bit of a surprise, I think. You know, you're sitting Dustin Johnson, which I think may be a surprise to some. I thought he played really well early. You're rolling. You know, and I kind of want to go over these with you, and let's just kind of pick who you think, if you had to pick it on paper right now, who you like in the morning, and we'll start. You know, Rory Peters, who won that great match, are taking on Ricky and Phil, who really ham and egged it early on. Is there somebody in there? Is there a team in there you think you would favor?
Well, I think I just said that I don't see Rory losing another match. I think the way Phil sprayed it in the foursomes, I didn't think they would send him back out. And to me, it makes absolutely no sense to be sitting DJ. I think he's the best, perhaps the best player in the world.
Ricky and DJ would be a great team.
Well, okay, so this is the problem with, I think, they've made a pretty half commitment to this pod system.
Right.
And that they've moved, it doesn't really qualify, and they've moved the guys across pods, but I definitely don't think they're going to be swapping in for foursomes guys that haven't practiced together yet. They're okay. Especially with how well the foursomes went this morning for them. I always said DJ and Koepka would be a fantastic foursomes.
I know, I was
pairing,
hoping for it. I mean, you can't break up a team that's played as well as they played today, even though it's a different format. So, I'm with you a little bit. I'll lean European in that first match. Stenson, Fitzpatrick are taking Sneds and Koepka in that second match. I'm assuming you'll probably lean a little bit more red, white, and blue there.
I am, and maybe if I had seen what Stenson did today, I might not say the same thing. But, I mean, as much as I'm fawning over Brooks' play, Snedeker was also fantastic. I've not really got the chance to watch him for a full round, and he moves the ball out there a lot better than I anticipated off the tee. I kind of always saw him as a bunter. I know the stats will probably say he's not a great driver of the ball, but I mean, Koepka was, of course, blowing it by him, but he moves it out there pretty well. He was incredibly steady. Those guys were having a lot of fun out there. I think I'm wondering out loud in my head whether or not the format worked out very well in their favor. Like I mentioned earlier, they ham and egged it perfectly. Whenever Sneds would be out of a hole, Koepka would be in there tight to 5 feet for birdie. So I'm hoping that doesn't kind of work against them in foursomes and that they both are able to play consistently through that. I will say I'm very surprised at how much I enjoyed watching foursomes more than I did four ball. I've always thought that's kind of a funky format, but I really did like alternate shot. The morning session, maybe it's because the U.S. went 4-0 in that session this morning, but I found that to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's faster. I mean, it's kind of a quicker, it's a little bit of a song and dance. I mean, you know, when the group's moving, one group's kind of moving as well. It's kind of a fun thing to watch from afar because it does feel faster. And you've only got one ball out there. You know, I mean, it's a lot different, I think, than what you're typically used to seeing in a golf tournament. Now we go to match three tomorrow, and I know you're excited about this one. Justin Rose and Chris Wood wouldn't sat through all the matches today, so hadn't played yet. We'll be taking on Jimmy Walker and Zach Johnson.
Yeah, so it looks like ZJ and Walker shot about 2 under today, which is fine. That's a very good round. They won their match against, you know, Garcia and Keimer this morning, who happened to shoot two over par, for their 16 holes. So I think this could be a bit of looking more towards the result in that they won this morning. They won this morning. They're 1-0. And love looking at the DJ and Kuchar pairing and saying, well, they only went 1-1. But if you look at their foursomes today, DJ and Kuchar shot 3 under. And their opponent also played poorly, but played better than Garcia and Keimer did. So I don't know. I just don't think that there was enough reason to sit DJ. I don't know if that Kuchar didn't do him any favors this afternoon, didn't make a birdie until the 16th hole. DJ shot 4 under in afternoon four ball today. I don't get it. I really don't get it. So sending Walker and ZJ back out there, it's a bit of rolling the dice based on a bit on the fact that they won their match. And I think the main reason they won their match is how bad Garcia and Keimer were this
right.
morning.
So and you get it. They could be, you know, 2-0 simply because they got some good draws. I mean, Justin Rose played well today, but you know, you get a rookie in Chris Wood who might be the most unknown of the players on the European team. So we'll see kind of how he handles it. But it's a tough format. I mean, it's a grueling format. You get the last match is going to be great. Sergio and Bayo, who played well today. We get Patrick Reed and Spieth bringing up the rear. They started both the sessions this morning and this afternoon. So they will actually be pulling up the rear here. I think they bounce back. I think they might win this thing big.
Yeah, for some reason, their foursomes mojo, it really was working today. I think they only made 2 bogeys the entire day. And I don't want to say they intimidate other teams, but I really do think there is a factor to it. They keep the ball in play, and they're both so good on the greens.
Right.
And Patrick Reed made the putt he made to win the match today. There was no way that putt was just not going in.
It was dead center. Man, it was so good. I was playing with Robert Dameron at Chambers Bay one time, and he hit a good putt, and he said, that would have gone in a Cheerio, and that was the same type of putt. It went right in the center of the hole. I'm excited to see him bounce back out again because I really think they're going to play all four sessions. So it'll be interesting to see if they can pull another point. I wanted to ask you,
correct me if I'm wrong. They didn't even play poorly this afternoon, did they?
They shot four under. They played decent. I mean, four under for these guys on this golf course, I think they'd probably grade their game maybe a B minus or a C plus. I mean, I think they'd probably expect a little bit more than that. But I mean, you shoot four under and you get swamped when somebody shoots nine under through 14 holes, you know.
Yeah. I don't think it's called. I mean, they're 4-0-1 as a combined pairing between the Ryder Cup. I'm sorry, 4-1-1 now at President's Cup and Ryder Cup. We knew they were going to win every match forever, so right. I don't put a whole lot into them losing this afternoon match.
And I heard
tough opponent, really tough opponent.
Yeah, Justin Rose now is like 10-4-1 in the Ryder Cup. He's like got one of the best records in the history of the Ryder Cup when you look at his win to loss percentage. It's crazy. And I mean, you could get another one tomorrow. I wanted to ask. What's the craziest thing you heard somebody say today on the golf course?
Oh, man. Well, I followed Danny Willett for 14 holes this afternoon. So I've never heard so many Baba Booies in my life. It was kind of embarrassing, I think, at a certain point. There was one guy that yelled, I've got a brother that I don't like either, Danny. And that was the only funny thing I heard the entire day. What amazed me is there were some fans that were like, legitimately passionately upset about this. I think I could also guess which direction they're going to be voting in the upcoming election. I'm not going to say that out loud.
They don't have to buy the hat.
They don't have to buy the hat, but there was one woman that was just in on the front row and screaming and saying, I'm going to stuff my face full of hot dogs and jelly donuts, to the point where somebody finally yelled out, like, somebody needs to cut her off. That was on, like, the fifth hole. And I thought there was going to be, like, honestly, issues after five holes. It really did calm down after five holes, but those first five, I mean, it was absolutely brutal. I mean, it made me really uncomfortable at times. There were times when I felt like I should interject and say something. Like, this should not be happening on a golf course. So, a lot of lack of creativity. I'm really unimpressed with the Greg fan so far.
You had a great tweet today about it. You said the difference in people's, you know, what they think they should yell out and how it comes out is like the biggest gap in anything in the world. And it's close. I do agree. There was somebody who replied and said it's much like tweets. And I was like, yeah, sometimes you just swing and miss. How would you rate them? What would you rate the fans 1 to 10? One being absolutely calm, Augusta-like. 10 is you're at an IndyCar race at like 10 p.m.
I'd say it was about like an 8.5 today. I think I mentioned earlier, you get just kind of different. You get different kind of fans, but potentially at events like this, guys that don't necessarily know how to behave at a golf tournament, and they take the Ryder Cup atmosphere a bit for granted. And I don't mind cheering after the shots. Like if a European guy misses and a U.S. guy cheers. That happens across the pond as well. It's maybe a little different scale, but that doesn't bother me. But when the guy's about to hit a shot and you're yelling out something at him, like especially Willett today, like, you should make your brother putt it. And like, he's got to back off the ball.
Right.
That's kind of stuff that really pisses me off.
Yeah, don't interrupt the play. If you want to try to be funny, at least do it when they're walking between shots. I mean, again, as you said, the 99.9% of the things you yell are not funny, everybody. So just make sure you understand that when you're thinking about screaming out something at any sporting event, much less a golf tournament.
I don't want to be too negative about it because this was my first real experience at a Ryder Cup walking inside the ropes. And I was lucky enough to be following the only match this afternoon that the U.S. won. And just walking in between the holes, kind of near where Snedeker and Koepka were walking, I was trying to give them their space, but being a part of that and hearing the cheers in between the hole was like, it was an experience. It really was. It felt like I should be going out and hitting a shot. Like I felt like I was a part of the team at that point. I'm not a real golf writer. So I'm just a golf fan that they somehow let inside the ropes. That was like, for me, that was like an incredible, like a kind of like living the Torsos dream. Like the guy did in the practice round coming out and hitting the putt.
Right.
That was kind of like that for me, just being just a part of that atmosphere and seeing the fans really respond to Koepka and Snedeker. I might be having be in a very different mood if I was following any other match this afternoon, because it sounds like the all over the rest of the course, the momentum was really shifting. But no, the fans made so much noise when the U.S. was making putts, and they lived up to the hype. I mean, they definitely met their expectations. Some negative in with that, but you're automatically going to have that when you're serving alcohol and there's crowds this big.
Exactly. But, what have you written or posted or anything, and where can people find it?
I need to do that now. Your podcast got priority.
Oh, look at that. You're so sweet.
I know. I'm not a hero. I'm just a normal person. But now I'm going to do a little piece tonight on Koepka. I got to talk to his dad a little bit. Got some really interesting nuggets. And I'm going to write some of the things I shared about Willett as well. Going to share some of that as well. And Brendan Porath and I did a video recap for SB Nation as well. So trying to keep up and get the rest of that done tonight. Got a lot of work ahead of me tonight. But, man, it's been a lot of fun. And the weather's been perfect, and the experience has been once in a lifetime. So, yeah. A lot going on out here.
Is Brooke Koepka's dad? Is his name Bob? Is that the guy on Twitter?
It is.
Wow, yeah, there you go. Look at him. He might be the best dad Twitter follow out there. He is like always on it. It's incredibly impressive. Bob Koepka, shout out. Way to be so good at Twitter.
Really nice guy. It was a lot of fun walking around with him.
Good. Today, and the stuff you're going to write, that will be on SB Nation or on No Laying Up?
It'll be on SB Nation. That's
okay,
what I'm here
so
with
check
this
out,
week.
So. Check out Chris Solomon's stuff on SB Nation. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, of course, and No Laying Up. Snapchat. You've been doing some great stuff, really, on all the platforms. You're all over the place, Chris. You know that. And also, I was going to ask, have you taken that Ryder Cup red zip-up off yet, or are you going to leave that on the whole week?
I took it off today. We got some new No Laying Up polos that I was rocking out there today.
Nice.
So, yeah, the red zip up came off, but, yeah, thanks for spotting that. Appreciate that.
I saw you on Golf Channel yesterday, and then I saw a picture today, and I was like, maybe he's just going to rock this. Maybe this is his uniform. Maybe this is like his Ryder Cup uniform. You're going to sport it.
It's the most presentable thing I have. Not everybody sends me free stuff like they do for you. I'm sorry, okay?
I can only imagine. By the way, No Laying Up polo sounds like something I would love to get in the mail.
Oh, you this is how you get all the free stuff. I see how you did that. That was well played.
Yeah, well, it would be something I would love to wear around and represent. Chris, I appreciate it. Have a good rest of your evening and a good rest of your Ryder Cup. And last thing, really quick, do you think America wins or do you think Europe come back?
15.5, 12.5. That was my prediction before. I'm sticking with it. I saw enough good things out of the U.S. team today that make me think that. And this could be famous last words, but I'm making a prediction here. But I can't picture the Euros winning singles. With as many guys they have playing really poorly, I can't picture Chris Wood going out and Matthew Fitzpatrick and Rafael Cabrera-Bello and Andy Sullivan, like those guys really running the table and wiping these guys clean in singles. So. No matter how close it is tomorrow, I think I'll still feel good going into Sunday, and I think the U.S. wins 15.5, 12.5.
Nice. If the tides do turn, then we'll have the sound clip and sound bite, and we'll send it over to you on Monday. I appreciate the time. Make sure you follow him and subscribe to his podcast as well, the No Laying Up podcast. Chris, have a good rest of your night, and have a good rest of the weekend.
Thank you, as always, Mr. Bacon.
Really appreciate it from Chris Solomon, No Laying Up, fame. They continue to grow as they should. This stuff is incredible. I mentioned those t-shirts. If you go to nolayingup.com, they've got a shop. The t-shirts are hilarious. They've got the Henrik Stenson one, Pro Tracer Golf Club in the Air, on sale. Speaking of t-shirts, make sure you also go to swingjuice.com right now. They have great t-shirts. They've got Ryder Cup t-shirts, Team USA, Team Europe. They've got everything you want, plus plenty more. They also make a great gift. If you've got a golf fan or golf obsessed person in your life, you don't want to buy them a golf club. You don't want to buy them golf balls. You don't want to buy them shoes. You don't know what they like. Everybody likes these t-shirts. They're funny. They're fun. They're comfortable. You can wear them before, after, even on the driving range if you're not at some uppity place where you practice. Swing Juice will give you 20% off if you use the offer code BACON at checkout. So make sure you use BACON, BACON, like my last name. You'll get 20% off. Swingjuice.com. Again, thanks to Chris. Thanks to you guys for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. I will be, on Twitter and all that good stuff tomorrow morning, bright and early, 5:30 a.m. here in Arizona. Get my coffee going. Get the Ryder Cup going. Should be a fun one. We'll see you on Monday with a special guest, somebody that I'm really, really excited to have on to recap the Ryder Cup.